Solve, secure, protect. Look to Patel for the independent thinking and cross-disciplinary focus it takes to advance security and safety in a changing world. They provide their clients with integrated solutions that secure our nation and help solve challenges within infrastructure, environment, emerging threats, and deployable mission-ready technology. Their teams leverage their deep expertise to develop science and technology for a healthier, safer, and more sustainable world. Visit Battelle.org to learn how Battelle makes the impossible possible.
Welcome to the From the Crow's Nest and our special show daily episode here as we wrap up day two of AOC 2021. I'm your host, Tala Alshaboot, with the Association of Old Crows, filling in for Ken Miller, who just wrapped up a fireside chat with our afternoon spotlight speaker, Michelle Flournoy. I'm here with Jesse Judge Burke from AOC Board of Directors. Judge, welcome to From the Crow's Nest and our show daily special.
Thank you very much.
A busy day and one that focused on some core issues to the MSO community. We started off the day with a keynote address by Dr. Kelly Fletcher, who is currently performing the duties of the CIO. We also had a breakout session on implementing the EMS Superiority Strategy I-Plan. The CIO is playing a key role in building the enterprise. What is your take on the messages you heard today from Dr. Fletcher and the MSO panel? What are some challenges and opportunities for the MSO community moving forward based on where we are today?
Excellent, thank you. Well, first I'd like to say, Tala, thank you and the crew for having me here for the interview. I really look forward to the exchange, and today has been absolutely brilliant, as was yesterday. So the messages that Dr. Fletcher, who's the acting CIO, who, by the way, is my boss's boss's boss. I work in DoD CIO right now as contract support. The messages were extremely positive. I've been tracking this space. I've been in the electronic warfare and EMS operations, now electromagnetic warfare area, for about the last 30 years in relative degrees of detail. And we have been, these moments that are happening now, as expressed by Dr. Fletcher first this morning, are the moments that we've been hoping for a very long time. The message has always been important that electromagnetic spectrum superiority is a precursor for success in any of the other domains, air, land, sea, space, and cyber. But it's never, the message has never really been elevated up to the point where senior most leaders were willing to take accountability for it, to take accountability for those outcomes, to make sure that we are on the path to achieving strategic superiority and great power competition, so that when we do, if we do, heaven forbid, inevitably face off against technology peer nation states, that we have a good game to make sure that our forces can survive and win. So CIO has inherited, they had already, and they have inherited a very interesting and a very important responsibility with respect to the electromagnetic spectrum. DoD CIO, by regulation and by statutory guidance, is already the principal staff advisor to the Secretary of Defense for all matters having to do with the electromagnetic spectrum. What's happened over the last couple of years, and you may have also heard, the audience may also have heard about the Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations Cross-Function Team, which I was a member of when it stood up in 2019, stood up by the Secretary of Defense. That group, we wrote the Electromagnetic Spectrum Superiority Strategy, the EMS-3, and then we compiled the implementation plan for that electromagnetic spectrum superiority strategy, right? And so that's very interesting, because the town is full of great strategies, but it doesn't have a whole bunch of implementation on the back end to make sure that those visions, the Secretary of Defense's vision, come to fruition. So now back to Dr. Fletcher and DoD CIO. They've inherited the role not only to be the PSA for the electromagnetic spectrum, but also to engage in oversight of the electromagnetic spectrum enterprise, which are the people, the policy, the programs, the strategies, the business processes, the the materiel, the resourcing for all of those things that will that are the foundation for electromagnetic spectrum superiority. So that's actually pretty large, because traditionally DoD CIO has typically been responsible for the health of the IT networks, right? As it is within in industry, in commercial and civil service, or in civil forums, the chief information officer is the man or woman who's responsible for making sure that the information technology is up to requirements. This goes well beyond that, because as I'm sure our listeners know, certainly our electromagnetic warfare traditional listeners know, the electromagnetic spectrum space and contest and competition in that space well exceeds the information technology activities within it, right? So that's very huge. So what she did, what Dr. Fletcher did this morning, was to restate that message with authority, with conviction, with passion, with happiness from the uppermost level in a very, very comprehensive way. And I think that in and of itself is one of the greatest developments in recent times that we've seen, that and the other executives. Because as I've said for a long time, we have just about all the money we need. We've got extraordinarily talented people. We have lots of people. We have the best technology on the planet, but we have a really difficult time coalescing it together to add up to EMS superiority, because the other technology peer nation states are approaching our aggregate level of capability. We need to turn that tide, and it takes advocacy from the most senior leadership like Dr. Fletcher to turn that tide.
Thank you for that. We also had a session today on MBSE, Digital Environment and Engineering, JADC2, and space operations. What stood out to you from these sessions, and how do these messages tie into the broader theme of the convention? These are puzzle pieces coming together. So can you tell us the picture we are beginning to see through 2 days here at AOC 2021?
Certainly. Well, one of the blessings and curses of the of a very well attended AOC annual symposium is that they put some content. We have to put some content stacked at the same time, so that if you're very interested in all of these topics, as I am, you only get the opportunity to attend one of the sessions. So while I cannot personally speak to what was mentioned in the MBSE Digital Environment and Engineering section, I'm fairly familiar with that discussion in general, because of the electromagnetic battle management and mission data integration initiatives that are going on in the Department of Defense that we're supporting. Was able to hear from the JADC2 Joint All Domain Command and Control and the space operations discussions. So I have thoughts about those as well. So JADC2 is a framework. It's a set of business processes, in a way equivalent to the electromagnetic battle management system that we in the EMS community are trying to stand up. JADC2 is extraordinarily significant, because what it is an institutional way to adopt, to identify and adopt shortcut attachments from sensors that are opportune, located in opportune portions of the battle space, and shooters, which are within range of their weapon effects, link those together in such a way, not just tying army to army or air force to air force or naval assets to naval assets, but going across domains. Because what this person, what this platform, and what this group may see may generate a better target quality solution than what the launching platform can generate organically. So if we can link sensors to shooters, which is the core, as I understand it, the core mission of JADC2, that will accelerate our processes. It will add clarity to the more stressed portions of warfighting. It will induce efficiencies, which again add speed and reduce costs. So it makes our asset, it makes our operations more sustainable. And how JADC2, in my mind, relates to EMBM, electromagnetic battle management, is ontologically pretty simple. So the EMS is the sole immersive physical, i.e. physics-based space around that wraps around the Earth that everybody shares. We're all swimming in it. Think of the way that a submarine travels through the water, right? An EMS-dependent device exists within the EMS. You don't think of I like to tell people not to think of the EMS as something that you are with. Think of the EMS as something we are in, right? And that helps us to conceptualize and to address the problem more absolutely and more effectively, right? So if we are all swimming in the EMS, to include the portions of the EMS wherein data packets or sensor-to-shooter connectivity happens, we need to get EMBM really, really solid before JADC2 is going to have its intended effects. And sometimes I think that, again, on the ontology, I think a lot of people think that EMBM is sort of an optional add, or it's not an optional add, but it's just a subset of what JADC2 should control. But if JADC2's core mission is to link sensors to shooters, that's just merely one activity in expeditionary warfighting space that's going on in the EMS. So it's really important to make sure that we understand that relationship, because if we get that right, then that will cascade into better outcomes. So I want to tie back to the first question, Dr. Fletcher, and then the other keynote speakers. What I'm seeing is a trend that people are adopting, the senior leaders, the most important people that are speaking to us, are adopting the more comprehensive approaches, comprehensive conceptual views of what's going on, which facilitate proper solution of EMBM, which is then in turn going to facilitate the most effective, cost-effective, speedy, lethal, and precise JADC2 for getting fires on target across domains.
Thank you. Finally, a few moments ago, we just wrapped up our last session of the day, a fireside chat with Michel Flournoy. Our regular podcast host, Ken Miller, sat down with her to talk DoD transformation. What is your quick take on what you heard from her, and what are your thoughts about how DoD is positioning itself to be prepared for great power competition and the future fight, especially with our eye on 2030?
Thank you. So I did just listen to the wonderful session between Ken Miller and Miss Flournoy. And what this makes me recall immediately, before I give comments on that wonderful exchange, very, very productive exchange, is I see an interesting coincidence. Please indulge me. My family, I'm the last of seven children. I had five older sisters. I love when everyone is just considered, when any person who wants to exert effort or make a difference is just considered for, you know, the character of their spirit. And it doesn't matter whether he is a he or she is a she, it doesn't really matter. So the thing that comes to mind, I hope you don't mind me indulge me in this, but Ms. Flournoy, a former United States Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. That's one of the highest ranking positions in the Department of Defense. We heard also earlier from the opening keynote for yesterday from Dr. Heidi Shu, who's the Undersecretary of Defense now for Research and Engineering. And we also, again, we heard from Dr. Fletcher. So I think not only are we finally nailing the message that we absolutely need to confidently and very, very clearly articulate regarding the strategic gravitas, the strategic importance of the EMS as a shared maneuver space for all platforms, but it is wonderfully being articulated to us by some of the most gifted ladies that industry would love to have, quite frankly. I mean, that we've been happy enough to have in the Department of Defense. So those, when I string those three talks together, I'm so encouraged. Again, I've been watching this ball bounce for a lot of years, and I'm extremely happy. So, Miss Flournoy's talk with Kent really articulated something that I believe I've been harping on in my kind of talks and white papers and whatnot that I give to the government and other assembled audiences, that electromagnetic warfare traditionally, electronic warfare traditionally, now electromagnetic warfare, has been a tactical success, but it has not been strategically sustainable. It doesn't tend to sustain itself. We win as captains and majors and sergeants And then the next time peace breaks out, you know, investment and, you know, resourcing and whatnot starts to wane a little bit, you know, because if the dog's not barking, you don't feed the dog and yada, yada, yada. But what these senior leaders, certainly Miss Flournoy is a brilliant lady, is able to take into account in considering this, is that if you maintain a steady state posture of strategic readiness to include EMS superiority, you're going to spend less money, you're going to be more ready, you're going to exploit more advanced, more innovative operational concepts, which she hooked onto specifically in her discussion, and you're going to have a better end result all the way across the board. And again, and as I said, this all ties back to the very beginning of our discussion, I think, that if you get EMS superior, if you posture EMS superiority right, so that your forces can go out and operationally and tactically demonstrate EMS control, that is the mastery of situational mastery of participation between blue and red forces in the EMS, then you've just bought your way into intrinsic superiority across air, land, sea, space, and cyber, right? And so she reflected all those messages. Ken asked some great questions, he always does, and the exchange was absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Reinforcing all the right points, not going off in any strange directions, and to hear that coming from one of the most senior minds who used to be in the Department of Defense is just, I'm over the moon, amazingly encouraged. Thank you for that question.
Thank you. All right. That is all the time we have for today. Judge, thank you for joining me and for offering your insight. We will see you again tomorrow afternoon as we wrap up the show. Don't miss our last day of AOC 2021. You can learn more about what's on the agenda at crows.org/2021home. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Battelle, the world's largest independent, not-for-profit, applied science and technology organization. Since 1929, their mission has been to translate scientific discovery and technology advances to benefit society. Through markets such as health, environment, infrastructure, industry, and national security, Battelle has been delivering cutting-edge solutions that impact the well-being of the world and help keep us safe at home. To learn more, go to battelle.org/connect. That's BATTELLE.org/connect.